people who hold themselves out to be patriots are not. They're nothing more than domestic terrorists. And I think that we are a country that people should follow the law. And what went up on the street is not very just.
Radio Free Vida.
This is a pirate transmission from District 13 with a message.
Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
To episode 1601, the very first episode of Radio Free Redoubt in the year of 2016. Happy New Year to all of you patriots out there across the American Redoubt and in occupied territory. Oh man, I hope you guys had a good New Year. We had a great, much needed week off, mostly. Still fielded a lot of emails, even though I promised myself I wasn't going to. But I did anyway because I just can't stay away from you guys. You guys are awesome. Thank you so much for your prayers and your support. And actually, our very first broadcast for Radio Free Redoubt was yesterday on the American Christian Network, ACN, covering over live radio. So what, 9 different radio stations on AM and FM on the dial. In Tri-Cities, Central Washington, Yakima, Wenatchee, Moses Lake, into Northeast Oregon and Northern Idaho, Spokane, the greater Spokane area. And so I just want to thank you guys for tuning in and supporting us there. We are on the full hour because we had a sponsor step up to pay the difference that we're short on. He's going to say, he said, we're going to do this for 6 months and we'll see where it goes. So that'll give us enough time to develop enough listener support. And hopefully they'll step up to the plate. And thank you guys for listening to the live streaming that are outside the coverage area. But that's pretty cool for us to be able to get the message out to patriots across the American Redoubt, which is, well, I mean, what more of an appropriate audience? Actually, we need to be broadcasting into occupied territory as well as a voice of encouragement for all of you that are living out there in occupied territory, right? But we've got to get the message to the patriots that need some guidance and direction in the American Redoubt. Now, today is going to be a very unique broadcast, podcast. We're going to be joined by State Representative Matt Shea, who is one of the people that I've been in constant contact with in the last 48 hours. And actually, we've been in contact over the last, a month, probably, related to the situation with the Hammond family, a ranching family in Oregon. And as many of you already know, there is a developing situation down there that I'm going to talk about more starting in probably segment 2, where there's a standoff involving the sons of the rancher, Cliven Bundy. The son, Ammon Bundy, is kind of spearheading that. They have taken possession of a federal building at a wildlife refuge, and they are planning to hole up for the long haul. And they are armed. But there's a lot more to that story, and we're going to talk about that. The BLM, with its heavy-handed tactics, is shoving people, ranchers and miners, off their land as part of a huge tyrannous land grab. And the Hammonds, the father and son, will be returning to prison Monday. They voluntarily have said that we're going to turn ourselves in and we're going to finish the rest of our sentence. Double jeopardy, going to prison twice for the same thing. So anyway, we've got more. We're going to cover that. And the reason why, and this is going to be a little bit shorter broadcast podcast tonight, because I've got more messages stacking up and phone calls, and there's a lot of stuff going on in back channels discussing, you know, looking for a resolution for this situation. And I put a posting up that will help those of you who maybe have not heard about this, that you can go to radiofreereadout.com. There was a posting related to the militia standoff. And there at the bottom of that, it explains what our position is. And at the bottom, it explains in detail a lot of this developing situation, pro and con, for and against the Patriots who have decided to take the course of action that they have chosen. The title of that posting is called Oregon Wildlife Refuge Patriot Standoff. And like I said, we're going to be getting more into that. So I don't have a whole lot of news and commentary because I've just been in conference and conference calls and texting and corresponding all day, which also means I did not get a chance to put together a partisan radio. I've got several notes and a really good partisan radio podcast I wanted to get together, but I'm not able to do that this week. Maybe if I can get it out by Monday or Tuesday, I'll do that for you guys. But it's just been very busy, and it doesn't look like there's going to be much of a break from that over the next couple of days. We may be going down to Oregon to try to intercede and try to find a, well, I've been asked possibly to help out. The Coalition of Western States may be intervening. And, well, like I said, I'll just talk about more about that in the second segment. And we'll be talking to Matt Shea here in just a little bit. So let's get into the news and commentary. Very brief version of the news and commentary. A very interesting post from thechristianpost.com. It's a poll. Americans support religious liberty for Christians more than they do for other religious groups, including Muslims and Jews, according to this new poll. The Associated Press and the NORC, Center for Public Affairs Research, released the findings of a poll on Wednesday, which found that while solid majorities of Americans supported religious freedom for all, specific religious groups got higher percentages than others. While 82% of the respondents said religious liberty protections for Christians were important, only 61% said the same for Muslims, and 70% respondents felt preserving the religious liberty for Jews was important. Well, does that make you, does that surprise you, considering 80% of Americans identify themselves as Christians? And does it also surprise you when we know, and the more that we learn about Islam, is that it is set itself against Christianity and the constitution of our country? So if they're going to use the destruction of our country under the cloak of religious liberty, well, of course people wouldn't be supportive of that. And they shouldn't. And that ties in with this next piece of legislation, this news from LegisScan. And that's H.R. 569, which is a resolution sponsored by, 83 Democrats, all Democrats. This is a bill condemning violence, bigotry, and hateful rhetoric towards Muslims in the United States. A new protected class is on the rise in the United States. And your government is helping to do it. So, check that out on the highlights and resources posting, legiscan.com. It's H.R. 569, insanity bill. And then finally, something that's not really news, but it's something that we stumbled across, and I wanted to pass it along to you guys. Somebody sent it in as a great resource for deleting your personal info from the internet. And that's over at massprivateeye.blogspot.com. And we're going to put the link up there. And we also put a separate posting on radiofreereadout.com, step by step, how to remove yourself from all of these websites that through an internet search, you punch it in. And, you know, many of them, there's your phone number or your address. Personal information, family members living in your household, even a map to your home, all of that violating information, personal information, that's called PERSEC, personal security. You can clean it up. And we put that posting up there. Now, there's a couple things that some folks have some reservations about. Some of these will not remove your information unless they know that it's truly you. And how they do that is they request that you send in a scanned copy of your driver's license into them. So what some folks have recommended is crossing out or whiting out, altering it so that you remove the picture of your face, because they don't need that, and your driver's license number. But there's your name and there's your home address and everything. Do you really want to send that in? Well, they already have it. That's the whole point. You're trying to get them to remove that. And they need to verify that, you know, so you can just go around and just delete anybody off the internet. They want to make sure that it's you. So, I didn't look if that's a requirement. If you request that they remove it, they have to. So that's their way of making you jump through a couple hoops to prove that it's you. So, I mean, obviously they want as many people in their database as possible, because then more people will visit them and then they get advertisers. So, if you want that removed, there's, and of course, not all of them require a driver's license, but there's a couple that do. And anyway, this is just a really cool resource. Great way to clean up your all your PERSEC information. Don't forget to support our sponsor, Katie Armor, for all of your body armor needs right here in the American Redoubt. And they will take good care of you. They've got the full and the front, back, sides. They've got the soft body armor and just a great Patreon-owned company, Katie Armor, CATIArmor.com, or just click on the banner on the right-hand side on the website at Radio Free Redoubt. And don't forget to include the coupon code. Just type in John Jacob for your discount. All right, that is it. We're going to turn this over to Fox 519, and we come back. I'm going to talk about something that's been really weighing on my heart. I've been praying about this throughout the day and trying to figure out how to appropriately, you know, respond to this. And we'll talk about that and more in just a minute. This is the voice of the American Redoubt.
While the eyes of the nation are pointed at Burns, Oregon, the deals are still being made in the shadows. Hello, everyone. Fox 519 here. While the past 24 hours have been rather disturbing with the developments in Oregon, we cannot forget that our president, quote, doesn't let a good crisis go to waste. There are still some huge economic stories that have taken place because of Burns, and they are slipping through the cracks, and I continue to bring you those stories and the news that matters to your pocketbook as patriots and preppers. This is Eye in the Economy, brought to you by Radio Free Redoubt.
All right, Fox, the economy has finally collapsed. I'm so glad we are all set and prepared. Looks like we've got our bases covered for a while. We've got the chickens for eggs and plenty of meat and lots of flour and yeast and other supplies.
Yep, we've got it all covered. I just got off the radio with the team and they're inbound right now. With any luck, they'll be here by day's end. We'd better get going around the tree here to be ready for them. Go tell the boys to break into the coffee storage and bring some up.
Dad, what are you talking about? We ran out of coffee last week. I was just down there. We don't have anything.
Last week? I haven't even had my coffee yet this morning. Oh, no. This is not good. We can't even drive into town and try to buy what's left. The army has already closed the highway into town. How could we have overlooked this?
What are we going to do? Without coffee, we're not going to make it! All right, everyone. You don't want to end up like this family, do you? The bottom has fallen out. The stuff has hit the fan. And no way to get to the store again, and not a cup of coffee in sight. This is just a bad situation waiting to get worse. Thankfully, you've got SistersCoffeeRoasters.com to watch your six. They offer premium green coffee beans vacuum sealed with instructions on how to roast your own coffee, and the price is awesome. 3 pounds of green beans for $21, and shipping is just $6. I've tasted it, and it's the best I've ever tasted.
So forget that canned stale stuff and add Sisters Coffee Roasters coffee to your food storage today. Call 509-999-6694 and get set up for your delivery right away before it's too late. That's SistersCoffeeRoasters.com, and make sure no coffee drinker is left behind. Well, welcome back, and thank you to our new sponsor, Sisters Coffee Roasters. Well, we need to start off with what just happened in Puerto Rico, and this will be our only story for this evening. So if you didn't hear, Puerto Rico saw its first ever bond default this last Monday. It was a move that potentially could ripple through other Puerto Rico debt, threatening U.S. investors with more significant losses. The small U.S. territory failed to make a $58 million payment on its public financing corporation bonds. Now, broader defaults will hit investors painfully and widely, as nearly one out of every three U.S. muni mutual funds have holdings in Puerto Rico. I'll read that again. One in three muni funds have holdings in Puerto Rico. This is huge, and it could affect millions of Americans' retirement funds, as well as city bond funds as well. The island has been on the brink of missing its $72 million bonds payments in the past, and now has managed to only secure a last-minute financing deal, but the more recent lifeline came from bondholders that were from the island's power utility last July. Now, the PFC did make a partial payment of $628,000 as a result of that deal. Now, those are funds from those legislation appropriations, but there isn't much left to cover anything else. Investors are also worried that other types of bonds that face a repayment deadline on Saturday may not be made. Payments may not be made in those at all. So what does those mean to those bondholders? Well, they have very founded worries about other broader defaults on the island's debt that have dragged down bond prices all over Puerto Rico. The S&P Municipal Bond Fund Index has dropped by 10.8% in year-to-date, and its total market value has declined by $6.9 billion. Meanwhile, a bill has been introduced in the U.S. Senate that would allow Puerto Rico corporations and municipalities to seek Chapter 9 bankruptcy protection, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to cover its international obligations. Now, a debt service payment could illustrate how dire the situation is, but perhaps the U.S. Congress needs to be pushed to make a decision sooner rather than later. Now, what does that mean to you and I? Well, with all this going on, you need to call your broker to ensure that if you're invested in any muni funds, cities, counties, whatever, that you make sure those aren't tied up in any sort of Puerto Rico-based asset. Now, if you do have it, try to change it. You may not be able to cash those in. Now, here's my take on this. The story has slipped through the financial cracks, and no one is watching this. A country with sovereign debt in default is not paying its obligations, and that means that millions upon millions of dollars have just gone up in flames, and that more is on the way. Compare this to Greece. Greece never formally defaulted. They got extensions three times, and then they got a bailout from the ECB and other countries. This is much bigger than Greece. Yes, the dollar amount may not be more, and the debt level may not be as big, but the fact that an extension was not given and dollars were not infused shows that there's a huge possibility that more debt will be defaulted on. Keep a close eye on the situation as it develops, because if the default continues, it could snowball. It surely will affect the U.S. as well as the world, and it could be enough to tip the scales. Now, those losses would have to extend into other muni sectors in other cities and counties as well as worldwide, but we really truly don't know until those obligations are defaulted on. Again, thanks for listening, and this for this week on Eye on the Economy and Radio Free Readout. This is Fox 519 signing off. God bless, and back to you, John Jacob.
Renegade. All right, we are back from the break, and this is Radio Free Readout segment 2, which is brought to you by Selkirk Mountain Real Estate, helping patriots get relocated strategically to the northern part of the Idaho Panhandle. And give them a call, SelkirkMountainRealEstate.com. All right, now let's cover this situation going on down in Oregon, inside the American Redoubt. And I really struggled with this, on how to approach this, because what I did was I put a message out to let folks know where we stand on this. And first of all, let me give you the rundown. Yesterday, Saturday, there was a planned rally to support the Hammonds, which are supposed to be reporting for prison on Monday to serve the remainder of their sentences. Many folks have been trying to intercede on behalf of the Hammonds. The Hammonds said they don't want anybody intervening for them. The son of Clive and Bundy, Ammon Bundy, has said this is not true, that they're only saying this because they were threatened by the BLM. And so there's some mixed messages there. But I've spoken with some folks who have been in direct contact with the Hammonds, and they said very clearly they don't want a standoff. They don't want to turn this into a big event. They don't want anybody interfering. It is a sentence that they have agreed to go along with. Now, many patriots decided to attend a planned rally, and there were about 300 patriots in Bern, Oregon, to stand for the Hammonds. And it was a success, and it was peaceful. Shortly afterward, Ammon Bundy and his brothers and several other patriots took off and drove approximately 30 miles south to a wildlife management headquarters building to occupy it. They said that they are going to occupy the building that has been used by the BLM indefinitely until their goals are met. And their goals are to restore the Constitution, for people to the ranchers to have their land back, and so on. They said they intend to hurt no one, but they will use force if necessary if the police try to remove them or if authorities try to remove them. Now, at this point, although it's reported that they have broken into a building, this is like a visitor center where the front lobby, apparently, you can just walk right in. And it's not locked. They've said that they have not broken into anything or caused any property damage whatsoever. They've built some bonfires out front to stand around and stay warm. They've threatened no one. The media has been able to come and go freely. Right now, we have a serious situation that really requires our prayer. Now, the reason why I struggled with this so much is because, first of all, we made a stand based on some of the personalities that are there on site. Do not, in my assessment, have not made this decision prayerfully. They have not sought counsel. They are under the authority of no one other than themselves. And this is tactically very disadvantageous for the group that's there. It is not sustainable. I expect that the FBI has taken control of the situation, and there has not been a confrontation at this point. But this is not something, in my assessment, that would be wise for us to directly be involved in. So folks started asking, where do we stand on this? Well, of course, we support the Hammonds, but they flatly rejected. And I've been involved in conference calls and other correspondence where they flatly rejected any intervention. These patriots, and they are patriots, decided to take measures or take things to a different level. And I disagree with the tactics at this time. First of all, it's not sustainable. It's very cold. It's, you know, down into the teens out there. Logistically, tactically, they are, well, basically, this is a good way to escalate things, you know, and get into a fight. And although we understand what we're up against in this country and what's coming, we understand that we're being forced into a situation where we have to possibly fight. And it seems inevitable at this point. Well, actually, let me read what I posted today. For the record, Radio Free Redoubt and AMRON do not condone the occupation of the Federal Wildlife Refuge headquarters. We understand that the government has overreached on numerous occasions, and their actions have caused the frustrations of patriots everywhere to reach a boiling point. This move is poor timing on the patriots' part. It is a poor location, and it is tactically and strategically unsound. Those on location are truly patriots, but this was a poor decision that will result in widely felt ramifications for all of us as patriots. We stand by the Hammonds and lift them up in prayer, but do not feel that the actions by the patriots at the wildlife refuge will net the results that will help the Hammonds or the patriots on site. This will result in the current administration implementing policies and responses that will empower them and prematurely hasten the inevitable conflict that is brewing in our country. So, we are standing back at this moment. Now, unfortunately, this is going to cause some division in the ranks of the patriots, because there are about a third of the people that are saying, well, why not? I mean, look, it's coming anyway. Let's get it on. I mean, are we going to cower? Are we going to, you know, what would the founding fathers say? I'll read to you some of the comments. I want to respond to them. But each person has to prayerfully seek out wisdom and discernment and wise counsel before making very serious decisions. One person's decision doesn't obligate everyone else to do the same thing that they feel led to do. I do not feel led and to have the responsibility at this point to have that on my shoulders to advocate for a bunch of patriots and AMRON operators to descend on Oregon and join in the occupation of this federal building, which is going to result, well, it's not going to end well. I will say this, it's not too late, because they haven't destroyed any property. They haven't threatened anyone. They're not doing armed patrols. They're standing around burn barrels, staying warm, and they're talking to the press to plead their case. They're not preventing anybody from coming and going. So no harm, no foul at this point. It doesn't appear that there was a burglary. They broke in. It'd be just like a bunch of people standing around at a rest stop, basically, around burn barrels, talking about what the BLM has done to people in the area. So nothing's been really escalated beyond that point. And at first, it seemed way worse than it appears to be now. It doesn't appear that any laws have been broken, unless there's something that I don't know about. But we've been getting information from people there on the ground, on site. But they did say they aren't leaving until their goals are met, and that is that land is returned to ranchers and the Constitution stops being violated and that the government follow the Constitution. And they did say that although they intend to cause no harm, that they will use force if necessary if the police or authorities try to remove them. So what we see here in the very near future is the potential for a very dangerous situation that is, like I said, tactically very disadvantageous. On Sunday, the sheriff in that area issued a statement saying these men came to Harney County claiming to be part of a militia group supporting local ranchers, when in reality, these men had alternative motives to attempt to overthrow the county and federal government in hopes to spark a movement across the United States. So these kind of statements and fear tactics aren't helping. These people are not trying to overthrow the federal government or the county government. He says, we are currently working jointly with several organizations to make sure the citizens of Harney County are safe and this issue is resolved as quickly and peaceful as possible. At this time, we do not have any information that any other areas in Harney County are in immediate danger, even out at the wildlife refuge, nobody is in immediate danger. But this is how they're going to write this. He said, we ask that people stay away from the refuge for their safety. We also ask that if anyone sees any of these individuals in the area, to please contact law enforcement and do not confront the individuals themselves. So these are, very dangerous people that just you shouldn't approach, or stay away from them and call the police if you see them. And these guys are basically, they're not doing anything right now. They're standing around talking to media and talking to them about what's going on, with the BLM. Now, we chose not to engage at this time. I disagree with their decision to physically occupy a federal building. I don't believe that escalating that is, A, going to help the Hammonds at all. They've already resolved that they are going to turn themselves in, and they're going to serve out their prison sentences, and nobody can talk them out of it. So some responses. About a third of the people are saying, if not now, when? I mean, if this is going to happen, we're tired of this tyranny. We need to stand up against it. That's what the founding fathers would have done. And what advice would they have given the original Tea Party? Now, this is what came to mind for me as I'm processing this. Look, the original Tea Party, through today's equivalent of about $2 million worth of tea into the harbor. And there's an interesting story behind that with all of the delegates, including Samuel Adams, who, when they couldn't reach a resolution, he said, well, then there's nothing else that we can do. Hint, hint. Next thing you know, a few hours later, the Boston Tea Party happens. Now, the difference, though, is that these guys secretively went out to disrupt the financial, it was a huge statement. But at that time, the British Army was strong enough. The Patriots weren't organized enough yet. So they used guerrilla tactics to financially hurt the adversary and to send a strong message that the sentiments were getting to that point where people were really willing to take action. But that would have been different if they would have went to a British barracks and just taken it over. You can expect that a showdown would have happened at that point when they weren't quite ready for it yet. That happened in 1773. So what it did was it accelerated what was already coming. There was already heads were going to bump because the tyrant kept pushing and pushing, and eventually there's going to be a fight. Well, the same thing's happening in our country, but we're not ready to go toe-to-toe yet. And when you take and seize a federal facility with armed men saying, we plan no harm except if somebody comes to physically remove us, then that's a different story. That's how you escalate things, and the Patriot community isn't ready for that yet. What happened after the Boston Tea Party, and the way they did it, nobody could be blamed. Oh, they had their suspicions. We're pretty sure we know who's behind this. I'm like, what? What do you mean? I was at the committee hall meeting. Everybody saw me there. I had nothing to do with this, right? They couldn't really pin it on anybody. But what happened was, and there were people that were opposed to them doing that. Why? Because it would escalate the heavy-handed tactics of the British against the colonists or colonialists, which is what happened. So it sped up the process. So April 19th, 1775 came pretty quick, quicker than it probably would have without agitating actions like the Boston Tea Party. So it was slightly different. And I don't believe that the Patriot community is organized or ready enough yet to go to that point. So if not now, when? Well, I struggle with this myself. Look, the tyrants, they have oppressed so many people for so long and gotten away with it, that if we don't make a stand, because our appeals, our redress of grievances, and all of our recourse being exhausted, they still step right over the top of us no matter what. But the timing of this couldn't play into the adversary's hands more beautifully. This week, Obama it's in the headlines. Obama's returning from his trip in Hawaii, recharged and ready to move forward with his agenda. He's meeting with Loretta, the lynch mob, on what, tomorrow or Tuesday, to discuss gun issues, gun violence, gun control, returning veterans, one of the patriots on site there is, according to social media, his battle buddy, says one of my buddies there, he's a returning veteran, he's got PTSD, and he wishes to commit suicide by government. And I'm going there to try to intercede so blood isn't spilled. Now, this is on social media, right out there in the open. Do you think that's going to help the administration, who's already trying to make the argument that A, returning veterans are a threat, and B, people with mental issues, this is the new tactic they're using, PTSD, you shouldn't own a gun. Returning veterans are a threat. Now you just combine those two. We're helping to make their arguments for them. This week, and this is what I fear, and this is what I actually suspect, that the government is not going to sit back and just let this simmer. I believe, because this week is so critical for the narrative, Thursday night, Obama's going to be sitting down in front of Anderson Cooper for a special episode on gun violence, trying to make his case. At this time, this is why it's strategically wrong at this time. And these guys did not seek any outside counsel. And the Bible's very clear about seeking counsel, wise counsel, when you make serious decisions. And these guys act autonomously, without any authority, any covering, any legitimate authority over them, and without counsel. They're doing what's right in their own hearts. And that's fine. I respect that. I understand the frustrations. I feel the same way sometimes. I just feel this is so out of some of these news stories that I read, it gets my blood boiling, that this just continues to happen and we don't do anything. Nothing will stop these guys except, I don't know, force. And there's people that are just ready to go right now to go to that point. And I feel that sometimes. I struggle with it all the time. We're headed for civil war. There is, if you study war, civil wars, and we've talked about this before, the indicators of internal conflict to measure the probability of conflict within a culture. So you can exploit that and use that for your advantage, for your own national interests, or put one down, help the government put an insurgency down, or help exacerbate the insurgency to tip the regime to something that's more favorable for your country. This is the realm, this is the kind of stuff that Special Forces does. That's what they're designed for. To operate in that realm. So there's a great article by William Bradford called Standing on the Brink of America's Second Civil War. I want to get that reposted for you guys. I've mentioned it before, but first, civil wars happen when three trends merge to create the perfect storm. First, the impetus to civil war is ideological, not economical, not territorial. A nation splits on the basis of deeply incompatible beliefs, values, and ideas about the relationship between the state and the people. There is a divide about how life, liberty, and property should be resolved. There is a divide about who resolves conflicts and how. Ideologically hostile tribes trapped within national boundaries find no zone of agreement and no modus vivendi that allows them to coexist. Okay, that's the first one. The second component, a nation lurching towards civil war has abandoned its formula for resolving disputes. Many national constitutions limit governmental powers and delimit boundaries between public and private. People in well-governed republics can choose their versions of the good life within the private sphere. Where issues are inherently public in nature and thus within governmental province, the Constitution provides for the resolution of political and legal conflicts. When followed, constitutions remove many issues from public life when the constitutions are followed. But we're not seeing that in this country, are we? Constitutions provide rules and principles for fairly and authoritatively resolving what disputes remain. Yet inhabitants of nations in cold civil wars like we're in now no longer agree as to the constitutional meanings and reject any limits upon government powers, or worse, abandon constitutions to the passions of temporary political majorities, damning the rights of minorities in the process. Third component. Both sides in pre-Civil War mode see the other not merely as misguided, but as evil, and view their ideas and those who hold them as beyond persuasion, fit solely for excommunication and even extermination. And we have those three components in our country right now. All of these preconditions currently exist in the United States. It's if something doesn't change, if at least two of these components don't change, we're headed toward an inevitable civil war in our country. But they're not changing, are they? In fact, these three components that will materialize into civil war are actually increasing. I mean, they're becoming more pronounced. It's not going the other way. And I'm just concerned that maybe we've gone to the point of no return. But this is a really good article, and I want to turn you guys over to this. But this week, Obama is going to, he's going to capitalize on this event and point to it. That's the strategic part. The strategic part is that what I feel is going to happen, this is just my gut, is that they are going to quickly, tomorrow morning, federal employees are supposed to be showing up for work. It's been a long weekend. The building was vacant. No problem, right? Well, that's all going to change. FBI are rolling into the area. And they have, what do we have here? Let me look at this. IntelliHub. FBI en route to Oregon. This just broke. Federal building occupation with scores of fully armed agents. Federal agents arrive in Oregon en masse, prepare to gain tactical advantage over the militia with swift, hot response effort. There are already reportedly high-altitude surveillance drones over the site right now. Let me stop here. Let me remind you of the Bundy Ranch incident. And remember what I said? The next time something like this happens, they're not going to do it the same. The feds are not going to do it the same. So we had better not. We better anticipate how the next one, how you'd respond to the next one. The problem, and this is how you lose battles, when you train, when your training consists of how to win the last battle you were in. Now, it's not to be confused with learning from prior experience, but when you strategize and build your tactics around the last battle, when you have another battle coming up with the same opponent, expecting that he's going to do the exact same thing next time, you're going to get punched right in the face. You're going to go down using, you're going to be surprised by the blow when it comes because you're expecting him to do the same thing. They're expecting that they're going to stand there with all the Patriots and the feds are going to back down. Let me tell you something with Bundy Ranch. And don't forget also, I know Stuart Rhodes from Oath Keepers. He was the laughingstock with a lot of people in the Patriot community when he broke this intel that he got that the inside the Pentagon, they were discussing drone strikes on the Bundy Ranch when they were at a standoff. And only later, it was like 60 days later, we learned that it was actually true. Insiders from the government were talking about the discussions exploring military options on the Patriots at the Bundy Ranch. So it found out, we found out that the military option was something that they were looking at pursuing. It wasn't a joke. Right now, they do have drones. There's no indication. There's no drone strike indicators. Okay, I'm not going that far with that. But we do know that previously, the government got a bloody nose in the last event at Bundy Ranch. You better know that in the boardroom meetings behind closed doors, there were some people saying that will never happen again. Because what happened after Bundy Ranch emboldened the Patriots and it demoralized the federal agents. They're not going to let that happen again. They're not going to sit around and play patty cakes and politically correct with them next time. They've already since then have been setting the American patriots up as domestic terrorists. They've been repeating it over and over. And now you've got the useful idiots out there in the public that are starting to buy into the narrative. So this right here is going to allow Obama all week. And this is how I would expect to play it out. This is how I would drive it from Obama's perspective. I would say quickly, tomorrow morning, within the next 24 hours, escalate this as quickly as possible. Preferably if shots are fired. Now you have a full-blown standoff. And you pull back. And you barricade the area. And now you have a standoff with shots fired, and then you let that simmer all week, and you point to it all week. And at the end, when other patriots start responding, because they will, there will be elements of patriots that will come from all over the country. Many are going to hold back because they're going to say, something ain't right here. This is a setup. But some of them aren't going to recognize that. And they're going to come into the area, which is going to empower the federal government to escalate things. Remember, this is a very specific target area, a very small target area. It is going to be so easy to bring all of the resources to bear. And you can carefully massage and manipulate this to escalate everything so that everything's in your favor, including the embedded media that supposedly is coming in with the FBI. IntelliHub staff anticipates FBI agents along with embedded members of the press to arrive on scene sometime during the wee hours of Monday morning. That's just their assessment, but I agree with that assessment. Harney County Sheriff Dave Ward is already starting to lay the foundational framework for this by putting out a warning to the public. And secondly, this is something else that just came out, is that politicians were urged not to make any public statements about this. They didn't say for or against. They said don't talk about it. So essentially an official gag order. So this is just not good for the patriots. It's just not. Because they are going to use all week to exploit this situation and point to it's going to legitimize their claims that patriots are domestic terrorists. So we are standing down. Now, these are true patriots. They are. But I would not have chosen the tactic. This is not the Boston Tea Party. But what they are, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Because what's done is done. They are there. They're there now. We need to support them in prayer. I would have chosen a different tactic. But they did it. And all of us are going to feel the ramifications. So what's coming is not going to be their fault. The BLM has gotten to the point where they have driven people where they feel like there's no other recourse. They feel this much desperation. Because the decades of tyranny, which just continues to increase in frequency. And now these guys feel like this is their only recourse. These guys are not just out looking for a fight. It's just time for them. So the results is going to be heavy-handed tactics and responses. So what's going to happen in 1775 on April 19th is going to happen after 1773 is going to be accelerated by many years of what's already coming. They're going to use this as this excuse. Just like the colonialists, the leaders, Samuel Adams and I mean all these guys, John Adams, Thomas Paine, all these, I recommend that you start increasing with intensity, with pace and alacrity, your training and your skills. This is exactly what happened with the colonialists. Right after the Boston Tea Party and they saw the British response, they immediately put out mandates for the militias to start increasing the tempo of their training. And that's what I'm recommending to you right now. Hopefully it will be enough of a deterrent that we'll never have to go to April 19th, 1776. But they're pushing for it. The adversary is pushing for it. They are itching to make conservative, God-fearing patriots into the enemy. If they want it bad enough, they got the resources, they're going to get what they want. So in the meantime, just because those guys are called to take that action and others probably that will respond doesn't obligate every single patriot in America to join them. And you're not a coward if you don't run to Oregon, you know, in the next 72 hours to join in. There's going to be plenty to do. And once again, as a patriot community, we are not ready to respond to the type of tyranny that's coming. Maybe this will serve that purpose. This will expedite the readiness level that we as modern American patriots should have been achieving a long time ago. So there's more, but you know what? I don't want to leave Matt Shea hanging. So I'm going to bring him on. Remember to lift us up in prayer. Thank you for your encouragement. And we need wisdom and discernment and courage, but we need all three. We cannot just come barreling forward like a bull in a china shop with courage, all the courage in the world, if we leave wisdom and discernment behind. We need godly counsel, and we have some great patriot clergy, pastor teams that are giving us guidance and making sure that we're going to lose. If we leave that behind, we will lose. We're up against a superior adversary, and there's only with supernatural intervention can we prevail in this day and age. So just please remember to just pray for all the patriots and the guys and gals that are down there right now. It doesn't matter if you agree with them or not, if you think they did the right thing or they should have done it differently or they should have never, whatever. It doesn't matter. They're there. They are there now, and they're God-fearing patriots. They really believe that this is the right time to do this. And this reminds me of a Marine quote that was sent to me this morning. To be absolutely correct too early is just another way of being wrong. The timing is not right, but it doesn't matter now. What's done is done. They are there, and the government is going to respond, which is going to force us to have to turn and face the tyrant just sooner than we were planning. So let's hope that all that can be averted, and it's not too late, but we're getting closer. So stay close to the Lord, stay in the Word, stay frosty, and we'll be back in just a minute. This is Radio Free Redoubt. How safe is your property? How long could it sustain you? Have you considered how you might deal with various threats? Have you planned out your property to get the most out of it for secure and self-reliant living? Those are the questions that Strategic Landscape Design answers. Their services include planning for the primary needs of water, food, energy, and self-defense, providing consulting and design services to help fellow patriots achieve a prepared lifestyle. Take the next step in making yours a secure and productive self-sufficient property. Go to www.strategiclandscapedesign.com.
This is Jordan Page, and you're listening to the voice of the American Redoubt.
Hi, everyone. This is John Jacob Schmidt here to tell you about the 299 Days book series by lawyer and author Glenn Tate. Follow him through his real-life story of transitioning from middle-aged, unprepared suburbanite to full-blown prepper, tactical team member, and provider and protector of his family. Then let Glenn take you on a wild ride through the collapse, community building, resistance against a corrupt system, and the rebirth of a new one. Go to 299days.com to learn more. This will be the third and final segment for this week, and this segment is brought to you by Werks Holsters, W-E-R-K-Z, custom-made Kydex holsters, and we've got one coming on the way for Mrs. Schmidt for her Glock 43, her everyday regular carry, so we're excited about that. inside the waistband holster. And they have a lifetime guarantee. Check them out at werkzworks.com, located right here in the American Readout with a lifetime guarantee. All right, let's see if we can get Representative Matt Shea on the line here. Stand by. And I think we got him.
This is Matt.
Hey, Matt. Hey, John Jacob here. How you doing?
Doing well.
All right. We've got ourselves a little situation going on here in Oregon.
We do have ourselves.
So, a lot of folks are asking what's being done about it. And I know there's been so much. We've been involved in so much behind the scenes on back channels. A lot of discussions taking place, looking at all the options. And what are, in your view, what are the options for the Patriot community at this time? Because we've got a couple that, you know, one, jump in and support them, or two, run away from them and abandon them, or find somewhere in the middle and hope that, you know, wisdom prevails. So what's your take?
Well, my take is that initially, I think, you know, that there were some good intentions to protest what was going on with the Hammond family. And typically the guidelines are when Coalition Western States gets involved in a situation like this, we very first thing we do is we establish prayer covering. We make sure that, you know, we have a prayer team solely dedicated to the effort. Second thing we do is we go down and research the facts on the ground and verify and confirm the situation and the facts surrounding the situation. And in this case, it seems pretty clear that once again the BLM is trying to prosecute someone for what they themselves have done. In fact, worse, where the BLM backfires actually ended up destroying property and destroying cattle, where in this case the Hammonds just ended up burning some of the BLM land in the backfire and successfully stopped the fire, I might add. So I think that, you know, from a perspective of justice, it's very clear that the BLM once again is to blame for the situation, once again is showing us all that they just have no intent of stopping their bureaucratic terrorism of ranchers and farmers in the West.
Yeah. Well, that's what we're...
The next thing that we do with the Coalition Western States is we'll ask the people that are directly affected by this, do you want help? And in this particular case, on several occasions, the Hammonds actually rejected our overtures and our outreach. And that is probably the biggest difference between this situation in Oregon and the situation, for example, of the Priest River that ended successfully for the Patriot Movement and the Bundy Ranch as well.
Now, some folks are stating, and there's some confusion here, and this is the problem when you have mixed messages coming out. Some folks are saying that the Hammonds felt threatened, so naturally they were going to see, you know, they were going to say, you know, don't come and help us because the BLM has threatened us and they're going to make matters worse. So have you heard anything to that effect?
Well, I have heard that the Hammonds were indeed threatened, but really what I'm hearing is that there's really a split in their own family about whether to accept help or not accept help. And, you know, there are situations as patriots where we need to step in regardless of somebody asking for help because the situation is so egregious and is so over the top and is so exigent that we need to do that. The problem is in this case, I mean, this has been going on for a long, long, long time.
Yeah, decades.
And this is not an exigent circumstance. It's not a rush. And really in these situations, without the family and without the people directly involved, their buy-in, that makes things very, very, very difficult and actually could set the Patriot Movement up for problems in the future because ultimately when it comes down to it, if those folks are not on board and it's just you there, then you are in danger of looking like you're trying to force your will on people, which is exactly what we're fighting against with the federal government and them forcing their will unconstitutionally on all the ranchers and property owners throughout the West.
Yeah. Well, the rally was a success. It was very well done.
Yes.
And then we had some folks decide to take further measures and seize the federal government or the wildlife refuge headquarters building because they're saying that is, you know, where so many of the BLM's operations were ran out of. And this is the kind of thing that, you know, that we were talking about where folks feel so pressed up against the wall that they don't feel like there are any other options to try to make something happen with the Hammonds going off to prison, and the BLM gets to wipe their hands clean and look for their next victim.
Well, I think that's exactly right. The BLM really has made this situation into something that is completely untenable. People try to fight this stuff in the court system, and even when they win, like in the case of Wayne Hage versus the United States, even when they win, it'll go up on appeal, and they'll say, no, you don't get any attorney's fees or anything. Even though you won and you were right, you get no attorney's fees or anything. And so these people are out millions of dollars,
yeah,
and most of the time have to sell their ranch to the BLM to continue fighting the BLM in court. And people are just so frustrated and feel like there's no hope and they've exhausted all options that, yeah, that now it's spilled over and boiled up to a point where it is right now. And the BLM has brought us to this point because of their bureaucratic terrorism. And it is, I think everybody throughout the West agrees that the BLM is mismanaging the lands, is not acting appropriately with, ranchers and farmers. And for us with the Coalition of Western States, though, we're working behind the scenes with legislators, clergy, grassroots leaders from throughout the West,
yeah,
to see if we can help bring this to a peaceful resolution, but not just a peaceful resolution, to make the BLM finally, in a meaningful way, confront the utter failure they've been as a government agency.
Yes, a lasting resolution.
A lasting resolution, exactly.
Yeah, this
and
is...
I think we all need to be praying for the folks down there. I think that probably goes without saying, but I wanted to make sure I mentioned that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. We've had so many people post on Facebook and send emails that they're just holding those guys up, you know, in prayer and support that the whole thing ends, you know, peacefully without any shots being fired. And also, and this is my biggest concern, that this may have been one of the opportunities that this administration has been just wringing its hand over, waiting for, to increase their heavy-handedness. And we saw this before. We saw this with the British before our time. But the British did this with our founding fathers and forced them to a point where they had to take drastic measures. And, fortunately, it led to the birth of our nation. But you know, sometimes there's a time to stand, but there's also a way to stand. So I wish that they would have sought counsel as far as the tactics that they chose to move forward with. But we're hoping that some level heads, some God-fearing men and respected leaders can intervene and intercede to keep this from turning violent.
Well, you know, the other part of this, too, and the big difference between this situation and, like, the situation in Priest River, the situation with the Bundys, there were elected patriot leaders. We're talking county commissioners, we're talking peace officers, talking state representatives that were on site at both those locations when all of this stuff happened. And in each case, it ended successfully, and the federal government backed down because there was that legitimate authority of elected officials on the ground.
Yes.
It's a little different right now, and there are none that I know of down there of any recognition, at least, in standing inside the Patriot Movement down on the ground in Oregon right now. And so I think that's kind of added to the problem. I will also say, though, that if the federal government thinks that they're going to go in there and try to take those folks down violently, and then use that as a cause celeb to increase gun control and say, see, these are domestic terrorists. See, these militia groups can't be trusted with guns. No one can be trusted with guns. I think that will make this almost an irreparable situation because the American people, and especially the folks that are God-fearing, freedom-loving Americans, have had enough of this stuff.
Yeah.
And if the federal government doesn't handle this right, all it's going to do is steal their hearts against the current administration and these policies. And I think we're going to see, like you said, more push against, and we've seen it for the last year, the setup for all this.
Yeah.
We're going to see a greater push against patriots throughout the country.
Yeah, we are. We're seeing their narrative obviously is getting more brazen and open as far as, defining God-fearing, patriotic people as the enemy and ignoring threats like ISIS and, you know, Islamic terrorism. So this – now, let me ask you this. Is it too early to announce any plans for the coalition of Western states as far as what their course of action is going to be? Are you trying to keep that close to the vest, or is there anything you want to announce regarding that?
Well, we're trying to keep it close to the vest, but what I could tell everyone listening to your great radio show is that we are indeed working, and we should have something for everyone very shortly on this. But clearly, and I want to reemphasize this, very clearly, BLM and this administration have created this situation and brought people to the point where they feel like they have no other options. And that just has to simply change, because this unconstitutional overreach by the federal government just can't go on any longer if we want to see America remain America. And I don't think that's too dramatic of a statement to make.
No, I don't think so either. And, you know, we saw it demonstrated last year in Ferguson. I believe that Obama was even an apologist for the acts of the people in Ferguson with burning cars and actually destroying property. And he was saying, well, I don't agree with what they did, but we have a broken system that needs to be fixed, because what has caused these people to feel like this is their only option anymore? They've lost hope. And so this is what it's resorted to. So maybe he can take some of his own advice and some of his own introspective analysis and apply it toward this.
We'll see. I'm not going to hold my breath, John,
no.
to see if he actually does that.
It'd be nice if somebody said that
we'll
to him.
We'll see. Yeah, and we'll see if he does that, or if he does what we all think he's going to do and make this a part of his agenda this week of gun control.
Yes.
And really begin to push that as part of what he had already been planning on doing, and that is ultimately confiscating the firearms of all law-abiding Americans. And we'll see what he does, but I think it's going to be the latter rather than the former.
Right, absolutely. And I know that we've got a lot of legislators, a lot of respected leaders in the Patriot community involved, and have been involved in numerous conversations ongoing regarding this. I know a response is being developed, especially if the feds, the FBI, I guess, now they're in control of the situation as far as the response. They're heading that up at the state level. There's reportedly now a high altitude surveillance drones over the area. And we're just hoping that the federal government doesn't escalate this thing, because these guys right now are saying this is not a standoff. And they haven't damaged any property. It's reportedly from boots on the ground. They have not destroyed anything or broken into anything. They're just standing around bonfires, and they want to bring some attention to this situation with the BLM being so out of control.
Right, yeah, there's no burning cars or looting or rioting or businesses being broken into or anything like that. These folks are just standing there right now. And if the federal government decides, again, if they decide to do something too drastic, I think that's just going to steal the hearts, and it should steal the hearts, of patriots across this country to say, you know what, enough is enough. The federal government cannot be expected to police itself, to rein in itself.
No.
It can't be expected to do the right thing. And so, therefore, our government is actually of the people, by the people, and for the people. And so the people need to take back control at the state, particularly in the local level, and restore a God-honoring constitutional republic. And I think that's what we all want to see is the outcome from this.
Absolutely. I couldn't have said it better myself. I thank you so much for everything that you do, providing the leadership, spearheading everything that you do against tyranny, and motivating so many people to take action, and in a meaningful way, with wisdom, use discernment. I know you seek a lot of wise counsel before you act, and that the people very much respect that. I know I do. So
well, thank you, John, and thank you for everything you're doing with Radio Free Readout, and everything you're doing with Amron as well. And for everybody out there, tonight, make a special point of praying for wisdom on this, because it's not going to be just a decision of a few. It's going to be the decision of all of us and the direction we want to see our country take, and also that we see God glorified and honored and praised through this. So please take some time tonight, spend it with your family, and pray about this situation, because literally I believe, and John, we actually talked about this earlier, I believe that this is a critical turning point in the history of our country.
It is. It can go in a couple of different ways. And either way, I think that after this weekend, many things will not be the same again. And we could be just getting hurled that much closer to what was probably already inevitable. But we'll take it one step at a time and seek his wisdom and courage and discernment as we deal with this, confront this the situation. So I want to thank you very much for being with us. I know you've got a lot of calls and texts and stuff like that going on to get back to you, so we'll let you go. But folks, Matt Shea, Representative, Washington State District 4, thank you, sir, so much for being with us, and we will definitely be in touch.
God bless you, John. Keep up the fight.
You too, sir. All right, that's a wrap, folks. Just remember to please remember us in prayer, and also for you guys too. I pray that you have strength and discernment and courage to face the times that we have in our country. Very unstable, very uncertain times, but we have hope, don't we? And we know we're on the winning team ultimately, but it is good for us to lean on each other as well. We're supposed to do that, to lift each other up and encourage each other and edify one another. So do that. You guys have a blessed week this week. Once again, we will not be doing a partisan radio tonight. I will see if I can squeeze one out in the next few days, depending on how all of this unfolds. And I got some great stuff that I want to introduce to you guys and continue with training. So I've got lots to do. I better get to it. All right, this is Radio Free Readout. I am John Jacob Schmidt, and my name is your name too, if you're a God-fearing, liberty-loving patriot. We'll talk to you next week. This is the voice of the American Readout. Good night.